Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, one of Nevada's leading political reporters, Sean Whaley of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Sean Carey, Stacey Woodbury, and Mary Lau. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers, Pro Group Management, Workers' Comp that works for you, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Your business deserves the absolute best in workers' compensation? You should know that not all workers' comp is equal. With Pro Group Management, your business is all that matters. What do you receive for your premium dollar? Professional risk management team, top-rated claim service, customer care team, website access to your full account? It's all in the numbers. You can upgrade your dollars and make them stretch farther and more efficiently. Call us today. You deserve the best. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
What has the massive Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center contributed to Northern Nevada, and just in the past few years? Well, they're home to 130 industrial companies, manufacturing, distribution, clean energy, occupying over 12 million square feet of industrial space, and employing over 6,000 Nevadans. That's incredible. All in less than 5 years. And with over 100,000 acres to go, we're just getting started. The Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
For help saving energy and money? Soon, new options from NV Energy will help you do both. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
This segment is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. So much depends on trucks. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad on No Holds Barred Political Forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome Sean Whaley back to the program. He's a political reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thank you, Sam.
Okay, so let's talk about some races here to begin with, even though we're a ways out. The lieutenant governor's race is starting to look real interesting. Sue Loudon sending out a very strong missive against State Senator Mark Hutchison yesterday.
Yeah, that appears to be a significant battle, and that race is going to be a very important one this year because we don't know what the governor's future may be. He's running for re-election to another four-year term. If he wins that, the speculation is he might be a Senate candidate in 2016. So if that happens and he succeeds, then the lieutenant governor would become the acting governor. So that race is critical. Sue Loudon clearly is a candidate who is trying to be to the right of Mark Hutchison, and he's sort of the Sandoval anointed candidate. On the Democratic side, we're still not really clear who's going to be in that race, but it's interesting that a race that most people wouldn't notice or care much about in most years is going to be a high profile one this year.
And it's interesting, you know, campaign debt has become an issue for Sue Loudon at this early stage of the game. But campaign debt is a reality for a lot of political races, from Board of Regents on up.
Sure it is. And she'll campaign now, and she'll get donations, and she'll be able to build up a fund for her campaign and probably be able to handle the debt from her prior Senate run. So I don't see that as a big issue for her personally or as a big campaign issue. It's just a fact of life for candidates who end races and have to have a debt that they have to pay off.
Whispers about opponents for Governor Sandoval.
Well, we don't know. There's a lot of chatter about Sharon Angle maybe giving Governor Sandoval a run for
in the primary.
His money in the primary, and that would be a fascinating one, and that may explain some of why Governor Sandoval recently has sort of been critical of the new health care law and sort of explaining to everybody that, yes, I did this and I did that, but it was a federal mandate and I did what I thought was best for Nevada. So he might be positioning himself a little bit to fend off a Republican challenger. I talked to Sharon Angle just the other day, and she disavows any knowledge of running in 2014 as far as a candidate for any office. She's focused on trying to repeal Obamacare, as she calls it.
Does she have money in the bank still?
She has a PAC that she is raising funds for, and she's been helping candidates around the country. So she has a vehicle to raise money. I don't know what her current financial status is, if she's got the funds to put a challenge to Sandoval in any serious way. He's clearly very popular with people in the state as a whole, so it would be difficult.
Any Democratic opponents surfacing yet? Because they're starting to run out of time.
They are starting to run out of time, and all the information that we read about the governor and polling and just his general being well received by the public and generally favored by voters shows that he would be a very difficult person to have a real challenge by a Democrat. I know Commissioner Steve Sisolak is still thinking about it, Clark County Democrat, but it's going to be difficult. He's an incumbent. He's very popular. He's going to wrap up a lot of donations and a lot of endorsements from gaming and other big industries in Nevada. So most people who speculate on this sort of thing think he's pretty clearly a strong favorite to win another term.
As Clark County Commissioner.
Pardon?
As Clark County Commissioner, Steve Sisolak. Oh, yeah, you mean the governor is...
I mean, the governor is positioned to win another term without a whole lot of possibility of a serious challenge.
Although Sisolak does not have statewide name recognition, despite having served on the Board of Regents as well as the Clark County Commission, and he could self-fund to a certain degree. He says he could put in some money, but he wouldn't put it all in.
Yeah, he could, and he does have name recognition in Clark County, and clearly there's a lot of Democratic voters in Clark County, so he's got a good base from which to work from, but truly his name recognition around the rest of the state is probably limited.
Has Governor Sandoval done an editorial board with the Review Journal lately?
I don't think he's been there lately. I'm trying to recall the last time he made an appearance, and it just doesn't ring a bell as to when he was there last, so I'm sure there's a lot of questions the editorial board would like to ask him about some of the issues in play right now, particularly the health care situation.
You have covered the legislature and Carson City for many, many years, probably more than either you or I would like to remember. do you think that Governor Sandoval is about the same in terms of access to the media, more so or less so than previous governors?
Well, going back to Governor Miller, Governor Miller was fairly accessible. Governor Gwynne was very accessible. Governor
You couldn't shut him up. And I'm joking.
Yeah,
and I love
true.
Governor Gwynne.
Yeah.
I used to joke that he would be 30 minutes on the show and 45 minutes in the hallway.
Right. Well, it's so funny. When we were in the press room in the state capitol down below in the basement, he'd come downstairs and come into the press room and chat with us for a while. And it would get to the point where, okay, Governor, we have to get back to work now. And so he was very accessible and likable. And Governor Gibbons, because he had so many issues with the media and just problems that he faced in terms of the budget situation and personal issues, I don't think he was as accessible. I think he could have been more so if the circumstances had been different. And Governor Sandoval, he's accessible when you encounter him in various meetings where you know he'll be, but he hasn't been like overly accessible to media inquiries. They run it through their press people and so on. So it's kind of a mixed bag with him.
All right, let's take a break. More with Sean Whaley when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
This segment is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. So much depends on trucks. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Sean Whaley, top political reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. One of the most interesting races, I think, and probably the most competitive in terms of congressional races, will be Aaron Bilbray Cohn, going after Joe Heck. How do you think that's shaping up so far?
Well, I agree. That's probably the most competitive statewide federal-type race that we have of the four congressional districts, and clearly we don't have a Senate race this time around. The district is somewhat Democratic voter edge, and Joe Heck is a Republican, and Aaron Bilbray Cohn is the Democratic challenger. So the number-wise, you would think that she would have maybe a slight edge, but Joe Heck is pretty popular with a lot of his base in that district down in Las Vegas, and so it's not going to be easy to defeat an incumbent, particularly given, you know, Heck's record on a lot of the issues. She's trying to make issues out of immigration reform and some of those other types of issues, and she doesn't seem to be making a lot of progress yet.
Well, and also it seems like she's going up against him on the wrong issues. I mean, he's in favor of immigration reform at this point.
He is, and I guess it's a question of how you approach it, how you enact it. There's differences of opinion on whether it should be a universal type of one bill that fixes this for everybody permanently as opposed to doing it in parts, and I think that's a distinction a lot of voters probably aren't even familiar with. So, but he has come out in favor of that, so I don't see her making any ground there. It's just that it's going to be difficult for any new candidate to go after an incumbent like Mr. Heck, because he's, again, popular and has represented that district pretty well.
And it would take an awful lot of money to try and unseat him.
It sure would, although she appears to have a fair amount of Democratic supporters already. She appears to be the favored candidate for the Democratic Party to run against him. So I think money raising won't be a problem, because it is a competitive race, or at least it won't be as big a problem as some races. So I think she'll have money, and we'll just have to see how it plays out. It's very early yet.
Stephen Horsford hasn't drawn any significant opposition at this point.
Not to this point. There are a couple of people talking about running against him, but that is a very strong Democratic district, even though
despite the rural area.
Despite the fact that it encompasses part of rural Nevada as well as northern Clark County, it's still very strongly Democratic. And Mr. Horsford's done a good job representing that district and the rural areas, too. He's made a point to go out there and talk to the folks out there. So I think he's probably going to be very difficult to unseat.
Yeah, and some people have been surprised at how strong he is in rural Nevada, that people appreciate the efforts that he's making. Pumpkin Hollow Mine, for example, has been a winner for him, it seems.
It does seem that. And he's definitely focused some attention on the rural part of his district, which I think people appreciate.
The big battle, it seems, the biggest battle perhaps, will be the margins tax.
It will. It'll be interesting to see how much money the teachers union wants to put into that.
They say $2 million. That's what I'm told.
That's what they're Well, that's a lot of money. And I don't know if the opposition will be able to counter that with the same kind of financial commitment. The margin tax, I think, is not on the radar for voters right now. There's going to be a lot of education between now and next November when we all get to decide on that. And so it seems to me that the money will help the teachers maybe try to play the message the way they want to play it, which is more money for schools and more money for pupils. But the economic effects of it are in dispute, and there's a concern there. And I think Colorado recently shot down a similar type of proposal there. So there's maybe some hope on the opponent's side that they can do the same here in Nevada.
And what do you think about the idea that the way that this is written, the money could go into the distributive school account, but the money that's already in there could be used by the legislature for other purposes?
Yeah, that's been under debate since they filed this measure a long time ago, and it's in dispute. The money would go into the public education fund that if the voters approved it, but it's also true that the legislature could take some of that existing funding and back it out and use it for other programs. That's true. The question is, would the legislature do that? Would they see that as sort of a rejection of the voter decision to increase education funding and so maybe leave it at the current level and allow the new funding to supplement it? So I think that would be a question for lawmakers to decide, but I would think the likelihood is that they would not want to dip into that education money, if at all possible.
But there's been discussion about the fact that the numbers the teachers union is putting out, $800 million a year, is not substantiated by the facts. But that's what the teachers union is saying. That would be $1.6 billion over the biennium. Wouldn't that be close to doubling what the K through 12 currently receives?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what percentage increase it would be, assuming that the $800 million a year figure is correct, but it would be a substantial increase. And I know there's debate about the margins tax as it was applied in Texas, and it didn't bring in the revenue they thought it would. So the track record on how this tax will work in Nevada is very unclear right now. It's very possible that it won't bring in the dollars they think it will. Depends on the business community, too, if that passes here. If there's employers who decide they'll take their business elsewhere, I don't know. That's a big concern, though, for opponents.
And that's where we have to leave it. Always a pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Thanks, Sam.
Sean Whaley. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
From your house to the White House, the folks at D&D Roofing can get it fixed with their eyes closed.
If you've been injured at work, you need to report it to your employer immediately and seek prompt medical attention. If you have any difficulties, call me. I'm Kathleen Sigurdson.
We worked two jobs to cover the bills, and we still couldn't afford health insurance. It's scary, but we didn't have any other options. Luckily, the government is paying for some of the costs, and our family will be covered in January.
The health care law requires all of us to have health insurance by 2014. Purchase income-based plans through Nevada HealthLink by December 15th and be covered in January. Find a plan at NevadaHealthLink.com or by calling 8557-NV-LINK. Sponsored by the state of Nevada.
The Elko Convention and Visitors Authority invites you to visit Elko and Northeastern Nevada this winter. Log on to exploreelko.com for community, recreation, and event information.
Dollar Loan Center's got you covered again. Your trusted name in lending for 15 years is now funding title loans. We lend more for your vehicle, and we guarantee to beat the rate of any competitor. No credit checks required, and you can always get a $2,500 signature loan in minutes. Apply at a Dollar Loan Center location or go to don'tbebroke.com for more info.
Senior Care Plus is healthcare insurance that goes beyond Medicare with local customer service that treats you like family. Senior Care Plus.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Mary Lau is here, President and CEO of the Retail Association of Nevada, one of our proud sponsors. Sean Carey is political columnist with Reno Tahoe Tonight magazine. And Stacey Woodbury is the newly minted executive director at the Nevada State Medical Association. So let's start out. Did you want to respond to Sean's comments about the margins tax and how much, because you are part of the opposition, you guys plan to raise with the teachers raising $2 million?
It just all depends. Right now, we're into the development phase where we've formed the coalition to defeat, and we're looking at all the numbers and the various industry segments and stuff, and then we'll start having meetings and going forward, but guaranteed we'll raise whatever is necessary to defeat this.
The $800 million a year figure, you've challenged that number in the past, but could the if all the money that's currently in the DSA and there was an additional $1.6 billion, could that actually be spent unless it was just spent frivolously?
Oh, if it stayed in the DSA? Mm-hmm. You can always spend money, and you're right, it would be frivolously. You'd have to go back and change the law to even allow capital expenses to come out of that, which would alter some of the stuff you do with ad valorem. But I don't think it would. I know Mr. Whaley indicated he thought that the money would stay there because it would be bad for, you know, the legislators to transfer the money and supplant it. But you almost have to because the state has so many needs. I mean, it can, you know, read mental health issues, read transportation issues and stuff like that. You can't take over $1 billion out of an economy and not harm the state. And then you'd have to go and tax more to straighten out the other problems that we have. So I think you find it supplanted.
The margins tax is going to be the issue of this campaign.
Of course. I mean, there's nothing else. Lieutenant Governor, perhaps, but the margins tax is definitely going to be the issue to watch, and it's going to be the hardest fought. And I'm not convinced it's not going to pass. I mean, there are too many fiscal needs that we have, and the people running around saying we can't have any new taxes are not admitting to the fact that there's not enough money to pay the bills. So, and if we've gotten to the point where we're legislating by initiative, and so this is where we have it.
Well, I don't know if we've gotten to that point, dear, because they keep failing. You know, you even failed even on school expenditures stuff. Clark County failed, Washoe County failed and stuff. I don't think we're to that level, but I think that you have to bring everybody together.
Well, and I just think it's kind of tragic that you put this kind of money into getting a initiative to the ballot, which I don't think is a great way to make policy, but then you don't construct it so that it can't be supplanted. That seems like a kind of a basic flaw in the process to begin with, because that allows them.
Well, even the room tax that they passed several years ago to get more money in education has never gone where it was supposed to go yet, because it got diverted by the legislature. So
I'm shocked.
I know. go figure.
Stacey, you wanted to clear up something that Brian Sandoval is being credited for, but actually goes back to the Gibbons administration.
Well, I just kind of wanted to straighten out the record. I was talking, as you know, to Sean before the program, and sometimes Governor Sandoval gets credit, and sometimes he gets blamed for the process of the two-pronged process of suing the federal government over the implementation of Obamacare and of starting the Silver State Health Insurance Exchange. And just the correction on the record is both of those decisions and processes were begun under the Gibbons administration when Robin Reedy was chief of staff and I was on that team. And we started the team between the Division of Insurance and the DHHS to plan how they could implement an exchange, because HHS didn't know a lot about insurance, and obviously the insurance people didn't know a lot about how people access health care. So we had started that team, but at the same time found Mr. Hutchison to represent the state in that lawsuit. So.
All right, that is now cleared up. So I go to my insurance broker last week, and he is now able to get onto the exchange, because he had a problem for the first couple of weeks, as a lot of brokers did, getting into the exchange, and lo and behold, I don't qualify for any of the government subsidies, but the private plan he came up with is going to save me $200 a month.
Well, that's good. You're a rare one. That is good, because we had a meeting just last week, and one of our people on the board is out of insurance now because they don't offer that plan. So count yourself lucky. And the brokers that had trouble getting on the exchange, in all fairness, because the people in Nevada that worked on our exchange have done an excellent job, and it was the portal into the federal exchange that kept crashing. It looks blind. It kind of looks like you're messing it up, but no, it was the connector that did that. So that's good for you.
Well, and I think that's one of the things that's going to come out of this, is that there's going to be more competition. competition where there wasn't before, that we may see, at least temporarily, some lower rates.
I think so, too. And it's also going to be, we have to get past this point with all the glitches in the system, because of course there's going to be glitches in the system. I mean, look at iOS 7 on an iPhone. I mean, they can screw up really big things.
And you weren't happy about that.
No, not happy about that.
But they keep sending you patches.
No, I actually bought a new phone. But no, anyway. But the fact is I would like to see what's going to happen once we get these things worked out and people actually start really getting into the system, because of course there was going to be plans that are going to go away. I mean, anybody that thought that there wasn't going to be is living on a different planet.
Yeah, and two things. I mean, you're going to see the first big wave is going to come, not now, the 25,000 that have lost coverage, but next fall, because associations that have formed to purchase coverage, like your medical associations, are going to lose that ability to do that under the Affordable Care Act. So a lot more people, I think, will be getting dumped next
year. Well, the Las Vegas Chamber
around.
Has provided a wonderful service to their members over the years, and it's no longer qualified. We have consultants down in Las Vegas. They each had individual policies. His is around. Hers went away. You know, that kind of stuff. Well,
but at least they will have time now from what happens this year to hopefully figure things out for next year.
Yeah, now that the president decided that what they talked about is okay.
All right, let's take it. We've got to go. We're out of time. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
With the holidays coming, you hope all your home appliances work, right? Well, if not, Northern Nevada Appliance Outlet has just the answers for you. A new appliance at a price you'll never see again on any appliance during Northern Nevada Appliance Outlet's year-end clearance sale. Save up to $1,000 on refrigerators and cooking appliances. Save up to $500 on dishwashers, washers, and dryers. Come on down and get the buy of the year on all appliances today at Northern Nevada Appliance Outlet year-end clearance sale on South Carson Street next to Applebee's.
Like you, all hustle and bustle, all media, no social. But ever since I retired, I got a new outlook on life. You got a great cup of coffee for a dollar. Unplug and enjoy it.
More eye-opening mornings to love.
How long you been retired?
About 35 minutes.
Get any size fresh brewed McCafe premium roast coffee for just a dollar.
You know, I used to be like you.
I've always loved racing bikes. A while back, though, I was in a serious crash. It happened so fast, I didn't have time to think. Since then, I've had plenty of time to make the right decision. I wanted the best orthopedic surgeon for my shoulder replacement. Carson Tahoe had the advanced technology I was looking for. They also treated me with respect, and I appreciated that. Today, I'm living proof my best miles are still ahead.
Carson Tahoe, here's to your health.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. On our next broadcast, Lee Gibson will be here with Regional Transportation Commission. We're talking transportation across the state.